guys are just wishing that a woman just gives him a little bit of attention, right? They pay for it. They do anything for it. Strip club, only you name it. Guys are hooked on this fitna of women, and women know that they can leverage that power, that seduction against men. And men are, they used to be strong before, or they used to be like, forget you, I'm going somewhere else. I got options, to now, like, please give me one look. Please give me one shout out on your OnlyFans chat so that I can be happy and go PMO and in peace, you know?
Right? There was a guy who bought some OnlyFans models bathwater.
Yeah.
Bathwater, yeah, bro. Yeah. He paid, I think, 10 or 100,000 to get shipped a little bottle of bathwater.
What is this, bro? What a loser. Sorry. Like,
the Sahaba died for this. They died for men to be who they are and come back to Allah, and this is what men are doing. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back to the realest podcast in the dunya, the three Muslims, minus two Muslims, plus one Muslim over here. Alhamdulillah, we are joined here with our esteemed Sheikh Jibril Al-Romani. Assalamu alaikum, bro.
Assalamu alaikum.
My guy, how long has it been now since we've seen each other?
Been over a year, mashallah.
Over a year, alhamdulillah, yeah. Time flies. Yeah. So for anybody that is not familiar with your work right now, tell them a little bit about yourself and your Reaver journey, bro.
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Good to see one of the three Muslims again, mashallah. After a while. It's actually over a year and what? 3 months, 4 months, yeah. Mashallah. Alhamdulillah, time passes by fast, like life. Yeah, so I basically work as a positive psychology counselor, and I counsel people of all backs of life, all backgrounds, alhamdulillah, with regards to manhood, masculinity, marriage issues, you name it, everything that's real life, real problems, real solutions, alhamdulillah. I've been a revert or convert, it's been almost 20 years now.
Subhanallah. What year did you convert?
So it was 2003.
Okay.
Yeah, so 20, yeah. 20 years.
Going to like the nutshell. 20
years of November right now, yeah.
What's the main like cliff notes to your revert story?
SubhanAllah, my friend Kamal, the Bosnian, he just did a khutbah at our old high school. Just today, right now, he sent me the video.
Really?
Yeah. So he was like, his first khutbah at our high school, because now they did like high school program. And he was talking about, I think he entitled like the happiest day of my life, because supposedly that was his happiest day when I converted to Islam. So just as a summary, akhi, like, do da'wah, man. Don't belittle da'wah. Whatever da'wah it is, whatever you can, as the Prophet ﷺ said, balighu anni walau ayah, convey, even if it's one ayah. That's what the brother did. You know, whatever he knew, he told me, and subhanAllah, you know, I embraced Islam sometime after. I mean, it wasn't like right away, right? You plant that seed and then it comes back. So when we started, Dao was 1998. That's when he started doing Dao to me. I became Muslim 2003. Wow. So that's 5 years, alhamdulillah. But that's all I can say. Never belittle Dao, whatever it is, a book, a pamphlet, a website, a video. Whatever it is, you don't know when that person is going to, Islam is going to enter their hearts.
And you used to be a subhanAllah, a Catholic or Christian?
Yeah, it's a complicated story, but it was a mix of things. So family, part of them were Catholics, some Orthodox, some were Unitarians. So it was a mix of things. I grew up in a, you can say the main umbrella was Christianity, yes.
Alhamdulillah. So this being said, when our brother Andrew Tate reverted, last year, I believe, before he got locked up, what was your initial reaction to that?
Bismillah. So, obviously, you know, we're happy for anyone who comes to Islam. And Andrew always reminds me just of some of the... I don't want to compare him to Sahaba, obviously, because a lot of people get sensitive, right? Because obviously there's nothing like Sahaba, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, like he actually seals their character that Allah is pleased with them. As for us, may Allah and He guide us and help us to become better, right? So we don't know where we stand, but we know where they stand, where the Sahaba stood. So with Andrew, obviously I was happy because no matter what, even before Islam, I criticized him in a few videos, right? And that's the way it is. We don't follow people based on how popular they are, how their charisma or anything like that. We follow them on how they follow Islam. And that's always my message to everyone, even like to myself. If I make some mistakes, like don't follow me because you like me. You know, I don't like it when people say, oh yeah, mashallah, this and that. But then what if I do something wrong? And then you're like, yeah, okay, mashallah, I'm still with you, you know? It's like groupie mentality. So I was happy. At the same time, I'm hopeful that he fixes some things because he's in the spotlight and he's got an amazing opportunity. Just an amazing, like if he can hear me right now, we're trying to reach out to him so we can go. Actually, Eddie and I were planning to go visit him soon, you know.
Oh, but inshallah.
I hope we can get to him because, see, he's in a spot right now that if he just tweaks things a bit, yeah. I know, like, look, he's not going to be like, okay, an alim or something like that, mm-hmm. right? People shouldn't treat him like that. Yeah. But if he just tweaks a few things with his influence, I think he can do some amazing, amazing thing. The world is watching. He has been the voice for many young men. It's the same thing that we've been echoing. Obviously, Allah blessed him to have that traction. Okay, people, listen to him. He's somehow, he blew up online. Some people have been talking about this topic for many, many years before. But they didn't. This is Allah's yani way of raising people or whatever. This is Allah's way. That's it. But he needs to understand this great opportunity. Even the non-Muslims are going to be influenced. Imagine Malcolm X. Okay, Malcolm X, if you think about him, his background. So, again, I don't want people to, because, you know, people are very, sorry, Annie, very feminine, very reactionary, right? You say something like, brother, how dare you? How can you say that? How can you compare him to Sahaba? So I'm not comparing Sahaba. How can you compare him to Malcolm X? I'm not comparing Malcolm X. But I just want you to understand. So Malcolm X was, you know, it's coming from a ghetto background, yeah. right? Gangster. He was
Nation
in jail.
Nation of Islam, yeah.
Yeah, he was in jail. For first, he was in jail. Then obviously Nation of Islam. But look at his change and his activism. So he was a gangster. He was, okay, for lack of better words, but he was in jail and so on. His change, though, was a very systematic yet very ethical and academic change, right? Mm, till today, Akhi, yes. He influences so many people. So he's coming from that background. I mean, Malcolm X was a man, no doubt. He was a man, all right? He was a real man. Like, if you're talking about masculinity, he definitely was a man, okay? He was none of these poofs that you see today, right? He was a man. So when we talk about masculinity, manhood, 100%. But see, he was very careful to not allow his background to stain when he started representing Islam.
And how did he do that? How did he ensure that?
I think he did that, first of all, through knowledge, seeking knowledge. He was getting a lot of feedback and help, and he was searching for that. Like, he was always open for people to advise him, and to he was very keen on learning, which I'm not sure, again, I don't know with Andrew, but I don't know if, from what I understand, doesn't have enough advisors. I don't know if he's not allowing people or if he's just kind of like aware or scared or based on what's been happening. But I don't think he has a lot of advisors or teachers. Let's say even more so, he needs teachers. Hmm. And instead of people, let's say, just talking bad about him, I think more people should focus on reaching him to become teachers for him.
Yeah. So we went to Dubai a couple of times and spent time with his friend Jewel.
Right.
Sartorio Shooter. And, you know, the times that we spent with him, Allahumma barik, man, he's really excelling after reverting. And
okay.
A lot of people have brought up this point that, oh, you know, we just wish Andrew Tate would be on Deen too. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. Not even a month, I believe, after he reverted, he got locked up.
Right.
How are you going to study the deen when you're right. in a Romanian True. Jail cell with cockroaches, bro? Cold. You just got hot water once a day. And it's insane, bro. Like, you expect... we're living in, like, the best roofs, under the best roofs money can buy. Air conditioning. Life is good. We have everything at our fingertips, and yet we're lazy. We're addicted to watching videos, relapsing on NoFap. Yet we're quick to criticize our brother who's locked up and he can't even, you know, learn the deen. Now he has time, but he's a reaver, right? And you yourself being a reaver yourself, do you think that it took time or was it
yeah,
like
it
instant?
Took time. It took time. It was just like, hopefully the hunger is there, you know what I mean? I think that needs to be there. Definitely to push back a little bit on that, a lot of the brothers who came out of jail, right now, recently, was a rapper that came out of jail after 5 years. Can't remember his name right, but I saw this nice picture of him praying in the hood. There was a bunch of brothers behind him, like he was leading Jamaah, you know, it's a famous rapper. He was locked up for about 5 years. So definitely you can, you know, and I think Andrew did. He, like, this one thing he did, he studied, he was reading the Quran in jail. And that's nice, and some hadith, and he was even tweeting that. So that's good. I just hope, I want actually for him, if he hears this, if you guys can obviously get the message, to just recognize the responsibility that is on him, just for the fact that he converted to Islam. A lot of people might say that, no. But keep in mind, people are looking at you. There's no way they're going to dissociate Islam from you right now. Right? Like, you know, like how when Dave Chappelle was asking, are you a Muslim? He's like, yeah, but I'm not good at it. Right? So it's like, okay, but keep in mind that people are going to, right? They're going to look at you. And a lot of people today, because we live, it's not because humans are bad or anything, but we live in a very shallow world. It's very superficial. So we do tend to prefer and be attached to personalities because we've been conditioned like that. Movies, social media, we're conditioned. And as human beings, our psychology is such that we connect to people before anything. It's called like a self-to-self connection, right? Or self-to-world connection. You need to connect to someone. It's very important. It's in our psychology. But sometimes that's, other things are ignored and we prioritize that connection at the expense of, okay, what does this person represent or what is the truth and so on and so forth. That's the challenge of humanity, is to go beyond the person, the liking, the attachment, and to look at truth. And I think most people, that's why they cannot embrace Islam. They cannot, of course, Allah guides. They cannot see the truth is because they're stopped by some allegiance, some connection, some, for lack of better words, tribalism, association, my culture, you know, my family, my ethnicity. There's certain ethnicities.
Just baggage,
so
yeah.
They're so strong, bro. Yeah, the culture, that no way they can think about becoming Muslim.
Wow. Right? And that comes against even God to them.
No doubt. And they'll tell you, look, I can't, right? Like, there's no way. Like, I'm not going to name certain cultures, but I know these cultures very well. And they're just like, the people be like, no way, man. Like, it's impossible for me to become Muslim.
My parents would kill me, right? Stuff like that.
Not just that. It's like, it's almost like an insult to themselves.
Wow. Their own ego and their the schema ego they had internally,
exactly,
of who they are.
What I represent, what I stand and for. What I stand for. Absolutely. Even though I acknowledge Islam as the truth, but because I come from like this empire that has thousands of years of history, this will be like the most embarrassing thing that I could do. You know what I mean?
And just looking at the situation right now in Gaza, bro, you know, we were talking to Omar Suleiman about this, that men today, unfortunately, are having bigger crisis watching what's happening in Gaza, living in the West in our comfortable lives, than the men actually in Gaza that are dying and that are just shuhada. So what advice would you have for men nowadays to wake up? Why? And before we even get into that, why do you think men have become very soft today? And especially as men, we're supposed to be qawam, right? But we're just weak and feminine, as you said.
Okay, just to wrap up with Andrew, I just hope that the brother, you know, understands what we're talking about. I hope.
Of course, we'd love to meet up.
Yeah, we pray to Allah that, you know, He guides him and He, you know, rectify, switch a few things, change a few things, select his language a bit better use of words, maybe, in terms of certain things, and that's it. I think.
And he's improved a lot. I've noticed he doesn't cuss anymore.
Yeah, much
he doesn't.
Better.
He stopped drinking completely day one.
Yeah, mashallah, no.
You know, even recently we've seen Brother Sneeko. He went to Umrah with right. Sheikh Uthman ibn Farooq, mashallah, and Wahab the Warner.
Mashallah.
And you're just noticing the change ASAP. You know,
even Sneeko, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
A big change, subhanAllah. Yeah. Definitely, I would say with Sneeko is a big improvement. You know, huge improvement. Alhamdulillah. And with Andrew, man, even like, I want to say his last interview with Piers Morgan.
Absolutely.
Was just really good.
Dominant, man. Yeah.
It was really amazing. And alhamdulillah.
Islam wasn't revealed in a day. So
no doubt.
It's going to take time, but we got
Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any help, inshallah.
Ameen, Ya Rab.
With regards to your question, look, the way I want to frame it is this. men have to understand that we were sitting here outside and looking and feeling bad. And question is, what if it comes home? What if the chickens come home to roost, right? What if it happens to us? What if any day someone decides that we're, you know, these Muslims, these Muslimics, these Islamics, they're not good for whatever place you live in. And, you know,
you say, what if? Yet look at the 6-year-old boy in Chicago. Yeah. Look at the hijabi sister in Texas. It's already happening.
Look, not even that, not long ago. This was a reality for Southeast Asians, Japanese, in Canada, in USA, the natives. You know, this is history. It was there not too long ago, you know, these concentration camps, right? Then you have, of course, you know, the Jews in the World War, right? And so on, with Nazism and all that, right? You have a bunch of examples where people are doing this, right? So you gotta be, you gotta understand that. Don't feel that, okay, we live in this democracy and this freedom today, and people are very relaxed. That's why they're weak. Because back in the days, let's say we go 100 years back, your grandfather had twice as much as your testosterone at 50 while you had at 25, you know? Big difference. Because the lifestyle was different. It required them to be strong, to be stoic. It was just, now we live in a Uber Eats lifestyle, drive-through, chicken.
Instacart.
Insta, everything, right? So it's a very easy life. Mm. For us anyway, in the West. Of course, there's people in certain countries still really, really, you know, called like, they call them third world countries, which are still struggling, walking, you know, barefoot, no resources. But that's because, anyway, I want to get into that as to why those places have no resources when they used to have a lot of resources. It's been stolen from them for hundreds of years. But hey, let's go back, you know, to our topic. So, yeah, it was a different lifestyle. So right now in the West, people complain about a hard life. Mm. Depression, we're having a hard life. It's so difficult. Yeah, it's so easy, man. Everything's at the tip of your fingers. We are so weak. We are so soft, and we're complaining about everything. We're always depressed. Why are you depressed? I don't know. I don't feel good. Why are you sad? I don't know. Wait a second. So you have everything at the tip of your fingers. Yeah, even like some of the lowest class people have access to basics, facilities that would be considered luxuries in certain places in Africa or India, right? Be considered luxurious. And we're complaining, not to mention your average middle class person who's supposedly suffering from depression. It's usually middle upper class people are suffering from depression, not crazy. The lower.
Yeah,
you find the, sorry for lack of better words, the people who live on the street. You find them being happy sometimes, saying hello, and, you know, other than maybe the druggies, may Allah, you know, guide them. And that's, again, another big reason as to why they've reached that. Instead of the government stopping that, they keep using taxpayers' money to fund these clinics and these safe drugs, and just a mess. So, which leads to the question, do they even want people to change or to, you know, to become better? But, we're weak because our lifestyle is weak, because we are complaining all the time. We've lost our masculinity. Our hormones are all over the place.
Processed food.
Women are stronger, becoming stronger now, more resilient, more aggressive, more masculine. There's so many changes in society. They are one thing that I've been studying recently and looking really deeply into is how the female psychology is changing due to the environment. And there's just so many things that are apparent, how they're changing. Like, literally, they are becoming men. It's weird. And their brain is changing. Like, literally, the way their brain is wired is changing. Like, the neuropsychology behind this is just fascinating to see how the neural pathways are changing, their behavior is changing, their cognition is changing, and men are becoming weaker, I would say, and women are becoming stronger. There's a shift, there's a transition. There's still a lot more stronger men physically, but in a world that's not that physical anymore, emotional strength and mental strength is probably more important now. I'm not saying that we don't have to be physical, but kind of the world's been set up on now on like emotions, intellect, influence, coercion, right? Social media influence, like who's making, who's influenced, who's the dominant energy and power? Well, women are a big pusher, I know. And you can see it very clearly in the world and the way fashion industry, purchasing power, and influence. Like who influences? Sex sells. And it's all about the female beauty, their aesthetics. And that just drives men left and right, isn't it? It drives them insane. Like guys are just... They're picking themselves up from the ground, you know, just wishing that a woman just gives them a little bit of attention, right? They pay for it. They do anything for it. Strip clubs, OnlyFans, you name it. Guys are hooked on this fitna of women, and women know that they can leverage that power, that seduction against men. And men are, they used to be strong before, or they used to be like, forget you, I'm going somewhere else. I got options, to now like, please give me one look. Please give me one shout out on your OnlyFans chat or whatever, right? So that I can be happy and go, you know, PMO in peace, you know?
there was a guy who bought some OnlyFans models bathwater.
Yeah.
Bathwater, yeah, bath bro. Water. He paid, I think, 10 or 100,000 to get shipped a little bottle of her bathwater.
What is this, bro? What a loser. Sorry. Like
the Sahaba died for this. They died for men to be who they are and come back to Allah. And this is what men are doing.
This is where the energy shifts. So again, they have like, come on, guy. Women are not going to go crazy over. I don't think any woman wants anyone's bathwater, any male's bathwater anyway.
No,
I don't think so.
They have aql. And they're using
they have akal, that they just, they don't like men that much, you know what I mean? No, honestly, it's just the way it is.
A lot of them are just, they swing both ways now too, even 100%, curious wise.
100%. No, not a lot of them, all of them.
Yeah.
Almost, I would say that's these days, think, yeah. That's one thing I've been studying a lot. You know, I know people are going to get upset.
We can do another episode on that.
We can do another episode on female sexuality.
That's only going to be exclusive on our OnlyFans for sure, guys. But this is the real deal. But Habibi, why do you think that the men today, that even the ones that might watch this video, they might click on another video, haram, unfortunately, relapse after this? Or do you think it's the lack of self-control? Do you think that maybe if we lived in another country, like a Muslim country, the firewall, it restricts a lot of different websites? What do you think the problem is?
Another Muslim country, firewalls will not restrict anything. The guys, they always find a way to get around the, you know, my students were experts.
There was some guy that used a VPN, bro, in the haram to relapse. In the haram. And I'm just like, what do you paid surprised. This much to go to Umrah?
No, it's our prefrontal cortex are destroyed. They're responsible for impulses. And a sexual urge is an impulse. We cannot control it. This is the reality. Women can control their sexual urges much better than men. That's why they dominate and they have this strength when it comes to the sexual sphere, right? And that's why they can swing men whichever way they want. Men are weak these days when it comes to this. Their impulses are very strong. We cannot resist it. And we're so desperate. And therefore, people are basically doing all kinds of stuff. It's a crisis, bro. It is a crisis. We have to admit it. Admission is the first thing. Then you have to work towards it. The problem is that it's not so simple. Like a lot of guys talk online and they're like, yeah, man, you just have to stop and be this strong person and blah, blah, blah. If you know the depth of this disaster, you know that it's not so simple. As people have been addicted to this for 20 years, 15 years, falling. It's a war. It's a war. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with the options that men have or don't. Their sexual value is very weak. Women don't, I know it's going to sound weird, but and it's going to be contradictory and not controversial. Women don't really, they're made to think, and they're almost, a lot of them are convinced actually that they don't need men. If you think about it, the way the environment's been set. The
programming.
Well, it's, well, let me rephrase that. They don't need husbands. They need men. Okay, so they'll need a police officer, obviously, to defend them, right?
Right.
But they, that's a
resource.
A resource.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need a mechanic. He's a resource. They'll pay. They need a firefighter. Taxes and all that, they'll pay.
Yeah.
But they don't, so protection now is taken care of by police. Or police, firefighters, or military, right? So it's a resource. It was there, but the husband used to be the first line of defense, right?
He used to be the guy for everything.
Yeah, for everything, for the car, for mechanic.
But whatever. Now the husband can't change the tires.
He cannot change the tires. He cannot fix a plug. He cannot fix the plumbing, nothing.
He can't start a fire.
He can't change a light bulb, bro. So many people are like, you know? Like, you know, you cannot. So that's the reality. Like most guys... Like how many guys have changed a tire? How many, you know, put a donut on? How many guys know how to check the tire pressure or check the oil or change the oil or something like that? Most people cannot know the plus and the minus on the battery. They don't have a toolbox. They, you know, they don't put a nail in, you know, and on the wall to hang a, they'll pay someone.
See, is it a surprise then that women have, you know, they rely on the police for protection? They rely on the mechanic for the car needs. They have a work husband. They have the guy who's creeping the DMs that sends her Venmo for gas money. They have 15 guys that are just giving her what once upon a time only one man.
Does she even need guys? That's the thing, right? So she can. They have sex toys for pleasure. Which
what about for procreation?
For procreation, they can be
sperm bank, sperm donor. Yeah?
They
yeah.
can be inseminated. Yeah, for they can have children. They actually, the way the world has been structured. Is to eliminate the need of a husband. You cannot eliminate the need of a man because you have to call men to do the dirty jobs, you know, the gutter jobs, the high power and, you know, high dimension jobs and all those have to be done by men, no doubt. But women don't need a husband. They can just live together, right? They can... There's toys to please.
They don't need love. They got romance novels.
They got romance novels. They can even, as I said, you know, they can love each other. They can fall in love with each other. It's something that women are easier to do. You know, men don't really do that. It's not that easy. So yeah, it's crazy how the world's been. Money-wise, the government will sponsor and take care of them if they really need to. Much easier than a man.
Child custody is disproportionate. Alimony, settlements, everything.
Alimony, settlements.
And we were actually talking about this with one of my friends who was backstage. That many brothers, unfortunately, when they get legally married, guys, understand, we're not here to tell you to, you know, go against the law of your land. We're not telling you not to do that either. But we're not telling you to not get legally married. But the ones that do... Unfortunately, sometimes women use these man-made governmental laws over the laws of Allah. They will exploit the man. And sometimes. They really don't think that they're going to have to account for every dollar that they take unjustly on the Day of Judgment. They really don't think that that's coming. So at the end of the day, many men are in this situation. So we have gotten the short end of the stick, wouldn't you say, in society?
100%.
But we also can't complain and whine about it. We can't be a victim. Men. We're men. We can't be victims about it. So what do you think men do when they start figuring these things out? We can't just, you know, be red-pilled and now start watching all these black-pill videos, start being nihilistic. Right. So what do we do?
Yeah, we cannot do that because we're Muslim. So we're held accountable to a certain standard. So you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. So you have to obey Allah. At the same time, you cannot fight the system the way you would want to. With this, like, you cannot fight fire with fire. So men have to really just work on themselves, just go back to the Quran, the Sunnah, realign themselves with the objective that Allah has created for us. And just literally, whenever you're lost, man, just find yourself back to Allah and work on yourself. Just realize your weaknesses. Stop denying it. Stop calling someone else. We're all in that situation. No, everyone's, people flexing left and right, but don't be deceived by what you see, okay? A lot of people live their lives through the lenses of other people, through their social media accounts of other people. Don't fantasize that you're, I don't know who and what. Okay, even these people, honestly, as a student of psychology, when I look at their talks and so on, you can tell that they've been through a lot or they're going through a lot. And the, you know, there's a deception in the front. Everyone puts the best front when they're online. Don't, and a lot of people will look at that and then they'll compare themselves to them and go even lower. It's like, I'm not like that. Or look at this person. Wow. I'm so bad. I'm so weak. I'm so this. I'm so that. Just look for inspiration. Always look for positives. If you see someone who's doing better than you, be happy for them and try to do better yourself. Don't look at it as like, oh, I'm down and they're up. Look at him. I'm up and I want to get, well, they're up and I want to go right up there as well, you know?
Because isn't it part of the sunnah to want for your brother what you want for
what
yourself?
What you want for yourself.
None 100%. Of you truly believe until that, right?
Yeah. We don't be jealous, man. Don't be jealous if someone does well. Be thankful. Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah will give you, you know, the same, inshallah. Allah can give everyone the same and it won't take away from his dominion. So don't have this weak mindset. Have a big mindset. Think big, you'll become big. And if not, this is your qadr. You know, you cannot fight in the end what's destined for you. If Allah decides to change it from your dua or from your good deeds, that's up to Allah. You don't know what's going to happen. Just enjoy the ride and do your best and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. And like men that I've seen that are obsessed with scarcity, they're usually men that they make the thing that they're attributing scarcity to their God. Even if it's not uppercase G, it's still something that they, it's an ilah. It's something that they worship. It's something that, it's the center of their universe. And when that's something, many times Allah will not give you that because you're failing the test of putting Allah in the center of the universe.
100%.
And Allah should be your mental point of origin for everything else. And when you put that one thing, whether it's money, it's women, it's lust, it's desires, whether it's a substance, you're consumed by it. You're no longer learning that this is, might just be a test or a resource or a means to Jannah, or like money, you know? It's not the end all be all.
It consumes, you know, doubt. And I think for men today, we know what it is. It's women, you know? I mean, it's not money. People think it's money. It's not money, guys. Guys don't want to, I'm talking to young men. They're not hungry to make money. They don't care. I'm like, dude, at your age, I was working two jobs. I was pulling in like 2K a month at the age of 14, you know?
And when, bro, back then was a lot.
It was a lot. 2K
was a lot, bro.
I was
working. That's like 6, 7K now.
I was working midnights, bro, on the weekend. And, you know, Fords and GM and these, you know.
You did sales or what?
No, man, on the line. Yeah, parts, car parts. Subhanallah. Sales, bro. You know, they call you in for like where people miss shifts. People calling sick. You just got to show up within half an hour. They call you like 11 at night. You know,
you're the bench warmer.
Bench warmer,
subhanallah,
right?
Subhanallah.
But you make crazy money, though. And I was, but these guys are not motivated. So I'm like, what do you guys want? You don't want money. You don't want to achieve something. People are going to say, oh, brother Jibril, you want people. Yahi, this is part of dunya. I'm not saying to have it in your heart. I'm not saying to be chasing it only. But human beings are driven to an extent by resources. If your right intention is there, why you having these resources? That makes it a whole big difference, right? But these guys don't want to. They just want, they're just obsessed with women, girl, you know, just attention of a girl. I'm in love. I miss my heart, blah, blah. They don't want nothing else except women.
God damn.
Background noise. Yeah.
And why do you want to make money? Oh, to get married. Why do you want to get in the gym and get your body right? Oh, to attract the girl. It's always for a woman.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, using women as a motivator is not a bad thing because at the end of the day, it keeps you going, right? But what are you going to do then when you get married? Are you going to stop working out? Are you going to stop making money? You need something that is beyond that, like doing it for the sake of Allah, doing it for some actual motive, not just something superficial like women, bro.
100%.
And this is why I believe that today we live in a pandemic where once men can overcome that, even though it's difficult, it's almost like women can sense that on you. 100%. When they know that they can't just woo you with their abaya, so to be suave. They can't just look a certain way and they'll have you wrapped around their fingertips. Mm. And when women sense that, there's something alluring about that. There's something intriguing about that. They sense raw, I guess you could say, outcome independent, detached, raw masculinity that energy has not been tapped into by most men today.
It's attractive. Yeah. Women resonate to that. And that's why women are not very attracted to most men today is because these guys are so needy, and this neediness is not something that they find attractive in a man whatsoever. No way. So,
and you actually are doing something about this, right? You have a community where men can kind of work together, gang together, and overcome these things and become a Muslim alpha almost, right? So right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Muslim Alpha Men course is basically to help men change their mindset and reprogram their heads according to the Quran, Sunnah, prioritize Allah, then prioritize their self-development. And by default, the outcomes of this will be all those things that they're chasing now. But those are just going to be outcomes of you prioritizing Allah, prioritizing yourself, developing yourself, working yourself, change your mindset. Even if you don't have all these resources, it doesn't matter. You can be from anywhere in the world. As long as, you know, it's sunny in your head and you have a good mindset and good iman, you can do a lot of things, man. A lot of things. So this course teaches that. And alhamdulillah, many people have changed their lives.
Yeah, I've seen some of the testimonials, man. Allah Mubarak, it's an amazing work. And this is not because this is like some, like, you know, Manosphere podcast. He's self-taught. You have actual academic clinical experience, right? So what is some of your like academic background?
Yeah, so alhamdulillah, I've studied biology and psychology, neuroscience and cognition, which kind of focused on how does cognition influence behavior, right? The way we understand, the way our brain works, and how does that influence our behavior.
Oh, subhanAllah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, so Islamic studies, alhamdulillah, as well, and counseling and positive Islamic psychology. So I've always been a student of psychology and trying to understand not only the mind, the soul, and it's a lifelong process, just a student. But it's amazing. It's fascinating. Some of the things that you learn and how the fitra, right? Because I think it's a study of the fitra, how amazing it is and how it proves Islam. You know, people always say, prove Islam, that Islam is the true thing. I'm like, look in your side. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In yourself, you find the signs, right? Allah tells us to see in ourselves. Really, when you look at your humanity, you cannot deny Islam. It's impossible.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
This being said, right now, unfortunately, we got to wrap up. We have an event to go to. What's the event? We got a conference?
Yeah, we got a conference, AIM conference, alhamdulillah, and discussing the issues surrounding what's happening in Gaza, in Palestine. Hopefully, it's going to be a very, very productive one, inshallah.
Inshallah, Ya Rab. Now, last thing, but definitely not the least, where can men find you?
Yeah, if you just type Gaber Ar-Romani in Google, you'll find my Instagram, my YouTube.
You got TikTok or you got banned?
I got banned. Yeah, we got banned from TikTok. I got deleted, but someone started a new one for me.
I forgot what I think we got banned at 150K or something. I don't know, but we made a video.
The TikTok community is just very, very weak and they just report you for like the smallest thing.
But you know what? You'll post, there's a woman. It's literally called the No End November. I'm not going to say what it is. But her account on TikTok was strictly dedicated to being the No End November relapser. Mm-hmm. So she would make videos, obviously 60 seconds, trying to get you to relapse. I kid you not. Out there, promoted by the algorithm.
Shaitan, bro.
Yeah, we will post the most wholesome, pious content to fortify your Islam.
Shaitan,
and we will
brother.
Get...
Shaitan, bro. Shaitan is a good way of working.
But more test, more fitna, more reward, right? Inshallah.
That's what it is, man.
We make dua for that.
We know what's the biggest fitna the Prophet ﷺ told us.
Women.
That's just the way it is, man.
Absolutely.
You like it or not.
Alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, Jazakallah khair for tuning in. If you haven't caught our episodes with Gabriel Ar-Romani, if you haven't caught our episodes with him, we did a lot of episodes, you know, some crazy jinn stories, intimacy series. He's known as the king of intimacy in this side of YouTube, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. And please tune in. Make sure you subscribe
to
his channel too.
Next one's going to be the exclusive on female sexuality. Huh?
Yes, this is going to be the big one. The big O.
Cancel us. Or,
yes, bro. We're going to be, inshallah. If you guys, you can't hate us for the truth. You know, unfortunately, this is what other du'at are talking about intimacy like this. When you look at the Prophet ﷺ, he was very open with the Shabab. when you look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were not shy about these topics. So there shouldn't be a taboo.
Respectful, but open, right?
Inshallah. So inshallah, we'll bring you guys that transparency. Stay tuned for a lot of episodes coming up, inshallah. We got part two with the sartorial shooter coming up soon. We got a podcast with Tam Khan. All of these, they're all filmed, by the way, guys. We just need to get on the editing, inshallah. If we have not found any editors by then, guys, if you know how to edit proper videos, please hit us up, inshallah. Start working for us. We are hiring more editors on the team. And this being said, it's been a pleasure, bro. May Allah bless you immensely. And with that being said, any final words?
Jazakumullah khair. May Allah accept and help us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.